Saddened to hear this week about Coach Bobby Bowden. We're going to take the second hour of the show to review with you a conversation we had back some years ago. And I've got Atira Charles as well talking about success in life. It's kind of like what we do around here, so stay with me. I think you'll enjoy it.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Friend, we're back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on this occasion when I wish I had happier things to talk about, but Coach Bowden announced earlier in the week some saddening news, disturbing news regarding his health. News came this way, I believe on Wednesday. It was announced that he's facing a terminal illness. Quite customary for Coach Bowden. He was replying to questions in very simple terms. It's his style. But he said, you know, I'm really okay. I'm just not feeling like I want to do much, energy levels and all. Well, the man is, in his early 90s now, 92, somewhere in there. And I suspect that for anyone who is accomplished and lived as much as he has, some of that ought to be, I suppose, anticipated. But this is not what we want to know. This is hearing from somebody who, by all extents, by all measures, is a celebrity, a national celebrity. More people, I think, know Tallahassee for its seminal football and its history with Coach Bobby Bowden than anything else. I mean, unfortunately, I think it's true that a lot of people are just uninformed when it comes to the broader picture, but be that as it may, not taking anything away from Seminole football. I mean, and after all, a lot of us, maybe all of us, have benefited in some way or another. If in no other way, it certainly has been a matter of economic impact when the Seminoles are known for their championship level of play, and you have all of that sort of trickle down. I mean, the numbers get pretty significant, and of late it's not been as rewarding, I suppose, but it does have an impact. And when you find out that, you know, millions of dollars were generated over a course of the history when Coach Bowden brought the team to championship status repeatedly. You know, and the likes of Charlie Ward or Jameis Winston and such, and all of that kind of played out because of what Coach Bowden brought to the table, what he brought to the game. And, you know, there isn't a restaurant or a bar owner or a hotel in town that didn't benefit, not to mention all of the collateral and the down line, the downlink, the manner in which all of that translates into business. You know, because for every business that's in operation serving football fans, well, then there are all of those that serve those businesses, and on it goes. Not to mention, you know, friends and family coming in from out of town to go to a football game, and yada yada, on it goes. And so the grocery stores, the gas stations, yeah, it all plays out. And you can imagine that with that kind of history, there will be a great deal of tribute offered. I mean, you can't even begin to imagine, I suppose, how much Bobby Bowden is going to be acknowledged if, in fact, we are having to anticipate his passing. I just don't even know exactly what to tell you other than to say we have fond memories of him. And we'll talk at length about that in the second hour of the show. We're going to rebroadcast this conversation that I had with him several years back when he was helping us out, bringing us up to date. We had done a live broadcast regarding sports and such and athletics here in Tallahassee, and so he was a part of that show. And we had the opportunity to go out and talk with him and bring back to you then this conversation. And I will have for you in this first hour Atira Charles. Now, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with Dr. Charles, a longtime associate faculty member over there at Florida A&M, remarkable contributions in the areas of business management, life management, coaching. He's got a very interesting perspective on how we go about achieving success, and she has a kind of rudimentary set of principles that you can begin to apply. It's designed for students and designed for you and I, really, to be able to say, how is it that I can achieve a particular goal, or how is it that I can prepare myself to be more efficient, effective? And for her, it comes back to some very sort of basic ideas about gratitude and giving thanks for taking an assessment then, or assessing what it is that we have been given or what we have already accomplished. And that for us is sort of the foundation then of looking at life in a more positive manner. But she does so by saying you have to be willing to humble yourself. You have to be willing to sort of step back away from those self-defined goals and activities and kind of look at, you know, what you came to life with in hand. How were you gifted? How were you enabled? How were you established from the very beginning of your life? And for you or for me, we might say, well, man, I don't know. I don't know that I was given too many special skills. Well, she would challenge you. Even if you've had to deal with either a physical, maybe an emotional disability, maybe something in your life that has been a hindrance, well, she would have you look in that direction and see how that is in and of itself, that hindrance, a stronger motivation for you. That is to say, even those things that we find limiting, disappointing, disabling. Well, you want to listen to what Dr. Charles has to say about that. She'll be with us here in the first hour at length. So I think you're going to find that very helpful. As well, I should point out that when it comes to good news. There's plenty of it around. And I thought this was an interesting notice from Leon County. Leon County government and KCCI, the community catalyst folks. And they have five artists now that are doing these Art of the Box. It's kind of a thing. If you've traveled around the country of late, some of the larger metro areas where they'll take a what is otherwise is just kind of a gray or green utility box. A lot of them are used for, you know, transformers, electrical transformers, or traffic control devices, right, that control the street lamps. Anyway, Rosa Cruz, Joy Green, Stephanie Roche, and Charlotte Spinks, along with Robin Washington, they've all been selected, and they're creating these works of art around the county, courtesy of Leon County Government and KCCI. Folks, stay with me. We've got more coming up right after this.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. Now we're talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Dr. Atira Charles, who has graciously joined us here this morning. And so glad that you, Dr. Charles, have been able to give us a bit of insight. We're talking about gratitude. We're talking about a good starting place. And we've said that, man, that's really about you getting quiet and listening. Where do you see it going from there? What's kind of the next step in that?
So once we have that stillness moment and once we reflect, we then have to be honest, right? And this is the most difficult part of the process, because I always say we have to hold up the metaphorical mirror and look in and be okay with what we see and understand that if we see some blemishes or if we see some challenges or if we see some things that don't make us feel good, we have to still value that information and that message the same way that we value the things that make us feel good about ourselves. And that's honestly the process of vulnerability that is the most difficult.
And why is that most difficult, do you think?
So psychological theory will say that as humans, we have a hedonistic quality, right? We like to feel good. We like to do things that make us feel good. Mm. We like to do things that make us believe that we are good, right? And then ego gets involved there as well. And not ego in the layman's term, negative, you know, view, but just our concept of self,
yeah.
You know, and
protecting self.
Yeah. And so by not being vulnerable and not being transparent, that's actually self-protective,
yeah.
But it's self-protective to a fault.
Right.
Right.
So those things that we might say are sort of natural for us
exactly.
Can really keep us from.
We're battling a psychological
life.
Tendency,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in battling a psychological tendency or even a behavioral tendency, that's difficult, because now what we're really talking about is almost rewriting our code.
And
right?
That must be even more difficult for those who have been traumatized, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because when even if someone lives a life that has more high times than low times, life is rough and tough, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about having more valleys than peaks, there's more to deal with there, right?
Right.
And that's where that comes
from. I was reading a Facebook post from a friend. Mm-hmm. Who said that her husband hadn't spoken to his mother in over 35 years,
wow.
Kind of thing, and didn't want to have any relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was reporting this to us, which in and of itself is sort of curious to me, that we will reveal the most intimate details of our lives to people that we don't know.
Right.
But if someone were to walk up to us on the street and ask us those kinds of intimate questions, we'd be offended.
Right. Well, it's because... No matter what, if we have a set of emotions that is building up and brewing, it's going to come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
We only have a certain human capacity, right?
So she took the opportunity to tell us about
right?
this. I'm not sure he was in on that.
I was going to say, I'm not sure how he felt about it, but, you know.
She did report.
It was
that
cathartic for her, I guess.
the point of her posting was that he'd made this effort to make a phone call
to this, his mother, mm-hmm. and left her a voicemail message.
Wow.
So she said, okay, it's a start. And some folks, of course, were chiming in about, hey, that's great and all. And it reminded me of this idea that resentment is the poison you drink to yourself to try to get even with somebody else.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
You know, so if I allow bitterness or unforgiveness to remain, then this ability to be less inhibited, to be more vulnerable, to open up and experience gratitude,
right,
becomes even more difficult, right?
And one of the challenges with vulnerability, one of the things we have to become aware of is there's always going to be a peanut gallery that has an opinion, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to become better filters of the peanut galleries in our lives as well. And when we think about social media creates this...
There's a lot of nuts out there.
Well, social media creates this false sense of community or interaction sometimes, right? Yeah. So I love Facebook. I love Instagram. I love to be able to share pictures, share stories, have people engage in my life that just by time, space, and location don't have a front row view, right? It allows me to build relationships with people that just time and space has created, you know, distance with. Yeah. So I do believe that there's strong value, and I'm pro social media, but it's like anything has another side, right?
Yeah.
I think that social media for some allows people to live in this insulated space internally, but kind of create this facade of external interaction. And that can be dangerous because it can almost become a little bit delusional.
Honestly, I don't see there, I agree with that. And I don't see that being much different than what we often will do when we go to some group that we're a part of, but we never really get honest with that group. It could be a Sunday morning. It could be a Wednesday night group or whatever we're doing. Maybe the people at work, we just don't get honest, do we?
Yeah.
Remove the mask, I think you might say.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I have a new project that I'm working on called The Mask Project, which talks about the emotional and psychological masks that we wear every day in our personal life and in our work lives. And I like to use the hashtag unmasked, right? UNMASKED, because we have to take the masks off at some point, right? So masks can be, the metaphorical mask, I'll call it, can be protective, right? It can also insulate us, but it can also be strategic, right? So a lot of times we think about a mask as a negative thing. Oh, you're covering, you're hiding. Oh, you're shamed. No, not necessarily. I may just be aware enough to reflect and realize that in this moment, in this situation, in this circumstance, I need to wear it. But one of the challenges is that people can sometimes get so used to the rat race of wearing all of these different masks that they don't have the moments to take it off and reflect and kind of get back in touch with their core authentic self.
And would you say, too, that in being that way and in being in touch with your core self, if you have at least one other or maybe a core group that knows that core, that knows that real you, that's helpful, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Research will support, and even anecdotally, social support systems matter. But you have to make sure that the sources of your social support are authentic as well and can interact with you in that transparent and in that vulnerable way, because it's an exchange. If I share everything with you, but then you don't share anything with me, in our next interaction, I'm going to be more guarded. But if I share with you and then you share with me, now there's trust that's built, right? And understand that we have an equal vested interest in this vulnerability exchange.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with Dr. Atira Charles and having a great conversation here about those things that you and I do with our own lives and with those around us who are, we'll say, our intimate others, our significant others, how well we can embrace the idea of being grateful, so allowing gratitude to work within us, bring us past those masks that we sometimes wear for good reason, but allow us to have that sort of genuine intimacy with the people who matter most. Folks, we are having a great, I'm having a great time. Thank you for staying with us. We're going to continue with Dr. Charles as we take this break. We'll be back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring, even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions. are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
So here we are on this lovely Saturday. 93.3 FM is our home station in Tallahassee. The good folks at Freedom 93 are willing to put up with me every week, as are you, my dear friend. Thank you for listening in, wherever you may be. If you're online listening, we stream live to the web, or we're broadcasting locally here at 93.3 in Tallahassee. And we have Dr. Charles with us. Holding us up and holding our hands as we get through this murky business of figuring out who we are, how we can better live our lives in ways that are more, let's say, rewarding, meaningful, mm-hmm. satisfying. As you've said repeatedly, it is a process,
yes.
and it's lifelong. We've pulled out a few rather dramatic examples of folks who on a public stage shock us with their behavior. And your comment is, well, okay, let's see what's behind the mask.
Exactly.
Huh? Yeah. And as we begin that effort, we've said that step one is we really just need to have those moments in our lives. And I mean, this is what, every day maybe, or at least often?
Every day, or in some systematic way.
Yeah.
Right, in some systematic way, be it once a day, twice a day, two times a week. We have to have some type of personal ritual, some type of personal system that allows us to be still, right, and reflect. And that requires no distractions, right? Because we're our own set of distractions
internally.
It is
so contrary to modern living.
It is.
I mean,
it
we wake up, we flip on the TV, we're on our Facebook page, on our phones. I mean, driving in the car, we flip on the radio.
Exactly.
You know? Don't turn the radio off, just saying.
Right. And that's and that's just the other stuff. That's not even the husbands and the wives and the children and the mothers and the fathers that we're taking care of and everybody else, right? The internal noise is loud enough, but if you don't allow yourself to disconnect from that external noise, you won't be able to fruitfully go through this process.
Do you, when you look at let's just talk about our community, Tallahassee,
yes.
okay? And of course, we're a subset of American culture,
mm-hmm.
but we have a kind of style here that is ours, mm-hmm. I think, and part of our mission is to help us find that in the way that we do it with this show. You've traveled about quite a bit. You've been a part of other communities. How do you think of Tallahassee? What comes to mind when you think of your hometown?
So it's interesting. When I'll kind of take it the individual level and take it up to the community. So when we think about identity, right, we have a lot of different identities. And identity can either be a source of affirmation and pride, right? We feel good about it. We're excited about it. It makes us feel good. Or it can be a source of threat, right, and shame. It can operate two different ways. So from my experience in Tallahassee, it's one of affirmation and pride. Mm-hmm. I came to Tallahassee as a 16-year-old college freshman. To FAMU, and I loved it. It was an amazing experience. It was the years in which I grew into the young woman that I became and now the woman that I am. It motivated me to dream big, right? It motivated me to understand that I'm a part of a place, right? And so our identities can also intersect because Tallahassee is largely defined via this lens of FAMU for me, right? Mm. So this intersection of Tallahassee meets FAMU is very critical to the positive view that I have of Tallahassee. And then for my family to have moved down here from New York, now it's not only Tallahassee, it's Tallahassee and my family, right? And so there's all of these, and then now there's community and family and friends and sorority and all of these things that intersect that make Tallahassee home and make Tallahassee feel good to me.
How do you think we're perceived elsewhere by others who are not part of this community?
So I'd say even before talking about Tallahassee, if we think about the South, just like any given identity group, there are stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
So we can go through the laundry list of stereotypes attached to being Southern, but then you could even break it down even further to being from the Deep South, right? And then you can break it down even further to being Floridian, right? So all of these different labels have different, you know, stigmas and stereotypes attached to it. But I think that it's important for people to self-define what it means for them, because if you allow stereotypes and biases that other people perceive to define it for you, you're setting yourself up for a lose-lose situation, you know, versus saying, what does it mean to me? What value does it bring to
me? When you're out among other professionals or among those that you are speaking to and you say, I'm from Tallahassee, what do you hear back? What do people say?
So some people will say, oh, where's that? Then some people will say, oh, that's where FAMU, that's FSU, right? So Tallahassee is largely defined by the university context here. And I think that can also be polarizing because everybody that's in Tallahassee is not connected to FAMU or FSU.
Right.
So the question then becomes, what is Tallahassee without the universities?
Right.
And how do the non-university connected citizens of Tallahassee connect? And that's why I'm really excited about, you know, our new mayor, Andrew Gillum, that one of my classmates, one of my good friends, you know, coming in as the mayor, because I know that one of Andrew's focuses is to create a common identity of what Tallahassee means, an inclusive perspective of what it means to be a Tallahassean. So I'm excited about this new chapter.
Are those things that you think of related to Tallahassee that, as you've said, are a bit stereotypic, whether it's, you know, college town or even a football team? I mean, there's plenty of press out there right now about FSU football and Jameis Winston. Are they inhibiting for us? Do they? Is that a mask that we have to pull away from?
I think
from
that it can be blinding and consuming, right? I think that if we so any given identity can be defined a number of ways, and I do think that it's limiting, in my opinion, I do think that it's limiting for us to solely define ourselves by a football team or even by a band, right? Just talking about the major things with both universities. I think that it doesn't allow us to honestly look at some of the other dynamics. I could sit here and say, I'm a professor and a mother and a wife and a business owner, and that's who I am. But the reality is that's only four pieces of who I am.
And that's
right?
only what you do. It's
and
not
that's
really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there are some other areas of my life that I may need to dissect more, right? I'm a procrastinator. So that's something that I have to pay attention to so that it does not become a liability in my life. But if I only focus on the positive things and I'm not vulnerable enough to focus on some of the areas that need some.
Okay, so that, if you're like me, you're scrambling, trying to get all this clear in your head. And it wouldn't be inadvisable to be taking notes as we learn more from Dr. Charles here this morning. Talking about the very important business, I would say, of self-awareness, self-correction, and allowing others who are intimately involved in the works that we're about, whether in our homes, in our businesses, in our personal relationships and friendships, to have access and to be able to make statements to us about how we can change what we do. Folks, I want to say we all need to be in that business, right? So, folks, stay with me. We're going to continue this conversation. We've got a little bit more I want to try to get for you before we let her go. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wood & Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Wood & Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year, and the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The best place for conversation. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back, and glad that you stayed with us here in the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Having a great morning, and what a great week this has been for all of us here in Tallahassee Town. And we have such a great conversation going with Dr. Atira Charles, who, for her part, seems to be pretty busy contributing to her own family, the lives of others. She's a professor over there at FAMU in business and an organizational consultant, a motivational speaker. And you are sort of in the business now of preparing to do an audio book. Is that somewhere back there in the works, huh?
Yes. So the work that I do related to identity and self-awareness and how we manage that in our personal and especially our professional lives is something that I'm working on now. And so I'm working on the details and the content. But yes, the goal is to have it as an audio book.
Yeah. Well, we had Dr. Cirio on earlier in the show today and actually pulled a segment of another conversation we had had with him focused on this question about the Ebola virus. Mm-hmm. And the reason I did that, particularly for today's show, is to put that in the context of what you and I are talking about, mm-hmm. whereby we find ourselves beset with all kinds of fear and anxieties and stresses, whether they're workplace related. Think about this. When I was a young man, mm-hmm. I never thought if I go to work today, I could get shot.
Right.
Or somebody might go off and decide to come in and start killing people,
right.
whether at my school or my place of work. And when I think about what you shared with us in the first hour, talking about this isolation, there's no oxygen getting to me, right? So I just sort of implode. I mean, I think about this 14-year-old up there Seattle area.
So sad.
That's my hometown. I know those people up mm-hmm. there. I mean, you might as well have set off an atomic bomb.
And here's the interesting thing with that story. All of the anecdotes about the child or that he was a popular kid, a friendly kid, everybody loved him, right? So when we think about wearing a mask, right? Paul Laurence Dunbar has a poem that I love that motivates a lot of the work that I do. And the beginning of the poem is, we wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes, you know? And people are not always aware or privy to what's going on the inside, which is why it's important for all of us to at least have those self-reflective moments so that we can more accurately communicate to the people in our world. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid. I'm ashamed. I have fear. I'm sad. I'm mm-hmm. angry. I'm mad. And I think it's imperative that we do that as adults because we have to teach our children to do so.
That it's okay.
That it's okay because we're in a society where mm-hmm. image matters so much. And presentation of self does not have to be authentic, right? Just kind of connecting to media and entertainment and things of that nature.
And the outcry that has come about with Jameis Winston, to me,
yeah.
illustrates how sensitive that whole presentation of self is
right.
when we idolize somebody who, after all, is flesh and blood. But, oh, wait a minute, Brian. He's our star quarterback. Right. He has to live at a different standard.
And here's the challenge with that, right? We have these expectations of others, but are unclear on the expectations we set for ourselves. And I think we have a tendency to, and it's a self-serving bias, right? I mean, research supports this, that we have a tendency to attribute failures to others and successes to ourselves. Hmm. But the challenge with that, just kind of keeping it with the youth conversation, because at the end of the day, he's a star quarterback, but he's a young man who was a teenager he came into everybody's lives.
Yeah.
The expectation that he has gone through a process of self-reflection and proper impression management is unfair because for those
unrealistic.
Yeah, it's unfair if he has not been given those tools, because the reality is most people have not been given those tools. There's just a different lens and microscope on him. And that's not to minimize any of some of the behaviors that he should be managing more effectively.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he is a young man that is finding himself under the microscope and scrutiny of the world, and that's not easy.
To me, it supports your observation with the 14-year-old kid who decides to take aim, right?
Right.
What was it that was so fractured? There was this sort of schism, mm-hmm. this outward self that is presented. That's the one we want to see. That's
exactly.
the one we're going to reward. Oh, you can throw
because that's also the one that makes us feel good about ourselves.
There you go.
Right.
And so I dare say that when Mr. Winston was being recruited for his current occupation, I would be shocked to find out that anybody sat him down and said, well, now let's talk about you. You know, let's find out what you value in life and how honest are you with yourself and what masks do you wear? No, they found out that this guy was an amazing football player.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they put their marker. That's what they said they wanted. They got that.
Right.
And I even said to Lynn Wicker, she was on the show here a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, he went out and did exactly what we asked him to do. Win a frickin' championship. And he,
right.
You know, and he's over here acting out. And those are undesirable behaviors. And you've said it's not about the behavior. It's about what are we doing to support this guy
right.
and walk with him and get him through this.
And not just him, right?
Our
community
yeah.
as a whole.
Yeah.
Our community as a whole. Because all of us have thoughts and all of us have behaviors and emotions that we don't share with the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has something that needs some management.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to be very careful of our level of being critical of others without being compassionate about their experience and their lived experience.
And see, to me, that's the level of hypocrisy that comes into play.
Oh, totally.
Here. Yeah? Because we didn't run this guy through a personality inventory and decide, you know what, even though this guy can throw a football like there's no tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
we're just not interested. No. No, we said, are you kidding?
But
this guy will make us a ton of cash. You know?
Right. People are also uncomfortable with having the conversation, period, right?
Yeah.
Because if people aren't able to have the conversation with themselves, how can they be stewards of the conversation with others,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's why in the classroom, I mean, my students always say, you know, Dr. C, you're always standing on some box telling us about something about ourselves. This isn't in the chapter. And I say, you're right. It's not in the chapter, but it's in your life, right?
You are the chapter.
Exactly. And I tell them, I said, I could care less if you retain 5 out of 7 versus 7 out of 7 concepts. But if you understand this life lesson that we are talking about right now, you will be better off for it.
Good for you.
You know, and I always tell people, I said, I'm emotionally intrusive. I start every talk off with that. I start every class off with that and say, I'm emotionally intrusive.
I'm going to be getting in your face.
Exactly.
Folks, this is why we do what we do here. Dr. Atira Charles with us this morning, professor, business consultant, motivational speaker, and an author about to release in the near future an audiobook. We're looking forward to that. And a good friend of this show.
Yes.
And
Thank you so much for inviting me back.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny that airs Saturday mornings at 9 on Moose Magnificat, if you're listening with us there. Glad that you're a Moose fan. If you haven't done so, be sure you download the app. Go to the website, moosemagnificat.com. This is Tallahassee's Radio to the World, where you hear all local musicians playing all of their original songs all the time. So it's all original, all Tallahassee, and that is the sound of Tallahassee. MooseMagnificat.com is the place. And yes, that app is available to you for Android or iPhone users. If you're not into downloading apps, you can, or at least if you're interested in using some other means by which you want to listen to Moose, you can do so on TuneIn. There's also a really lovely app that's called Radio Garden. So we're listed there. Just do a search for Moose Magnificat. And you can listen through Alexa. You know, say, hey, Alexa, what's playing on Moose Magnificat? It's all there for you at the website. If you go to moosemagnificat.com, plenty of instruction for you. As well, the show airs again on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock and then on Wednesdays at 5:30 in the afternoon. So you got plenty of opportunities to catch up with us. Keep that in mind. A lot of folks I notice listen on their way home from work on a Wednesday at 5:30 and they've got the phone there and they're hooked up with their Bluetooth on the head unit for their car. That's all good, right? And we've had some great conversations of late, and more up ahead, by the way. Talked to Dr. Dave Gussack earlier this week. He's going to be with us here in a couple weeks, if you remember. He is an art therapy instructor, an art therapist professor over there at Florida State. Fascinating. He's written several books on the topic and recognized worldwide for his contributions. So it's going to be a pleasure to have him back in the studio. And we've got several other folks lined up for you as well. And at the moment, I want to just tell you that if we're talking about ways in which we can better prepare ourselves for future happenings, severe weather is the topic O'Day. And by the way, on that score, we should acknowledge that we're working closely with Leon County and City of Tallahassee with regard to emergency preparedness. Kevin Peters over there at the County Emergency Management Office does a great job. And of course, Tallahassee Fire Department is always working in that direction. Even in the week just past, we had several significant thunderstorms that came through the region, and a house was set on fire because of lightning, knocked out power. So it is clear to us that, in fact, throughout the year, if you've lived here for any period of time, I'm preaching to the choir, you know this, you got to stay prepared for severe weather all year long. So that's what we do. TallahasseePrepared.com is the website, and you're going to find buckets of helpful information courtesy of Leon County and some of our own private resources, people that have worked in this area for a number of years. We've got a load of local service providers that we are recommending to you, whether they are dealing in the business of home repair or air conditioning, window tinting to reduce the effects of UV rays, or if you need glass repair. Wooden Glass is the presenting sponsor for this year's campaign, and they have been in business since 1945. Continuously now in their third generation of real glass people down there on South Monroe. Woodenglass.com is their website. So if you're dealing with any kind of need for services around your house or your business, whether it's in preparation for severe weather or if it is in response to some damage that's been caused, well, that's a good place to go. Lots of helpful information, too, about your own personal plan. We are constantly reminding people that, hey, you know what? Being prepared for severe weather isn't a season. It's an attitude. So that means having a planned escape route should we be faced with tornadic winds or a hurricane. Or what about some flash flooding that occurs? What about a lightning strike? And do you have smoke alarms in your attic? Because after all, that's where that lightning strike is going to make its presence known, set your roof on fire, and you know the attic is full of smoke, and your smoke detectors are down there in your living room. Well, that doesn't give you enough warning. Enough time. So that's all kind of the message here. Make sure that you've checked it out. TallahasseePrepared.com is the place to go. And you'll find a listing there of our presenting sponsor, Wooden Glass, along with participating sponsors, Truck and Car Concepts, Sellers Tile, and some of our media partners, including Lamar Advertising. They're all part of this effort to keep you and I prepared for severe weather throughout the year. I would also like to point out that as we go forward through the rest of the summer, there's a lot of those opportunities for us, especially with us now sort of coming out from under the plague of business shutdowns and restrictions on our participation in various things. A lot of these businesses that have reopened, especially when it comes to hospitality. We were at a restaurant earlier in the week, and they had been closed for a number of weeks back in the spring of this year, even prior to that, during 2020, of course. And so there was kind of a opening and then a closing. And a lot of that closing was because it couldn't find employees, people that they had to lay off, had left town or had found other work or whatever their circumstance. And so that became a, you know, staffing became a big issue. We've talked with a number of those kinds of establishments around town, and they're all saying somewhat similarly that they're having trouble. They're struggling with trying to staff adequately the operation. And so when that comes down to it, I would encourage you to look around, and those people who are your friends and neighbors who are looking for work, well, there's work to be had. And you can, I mean, if it's not in culinary and restaurant and hospitality sorts of venues, man, there's a lot of the service work out there to be done. Even some of the light manufacturing around town, they're all looking for qualified people. And a lot of times you'll find that their programs are designed to train those people that they've recruited. And so you can really get some on-the-job training as part of that whole effort. Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up with Bobby Bowden. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have, in the years that, at least that I've been in Tallahassee, it's been 40 years, lived with this legacy that has been Tallahassee's, in many respects, signature. And I remember some of the marketing efforts that were made years ago, Florida State University, Visit Tallahassee, in relation to how we are known nationally. It was clear that the Seminole insignia for Seminole sports was more highly recognized than the Florida State University seal. I mean, that doesn't particularly surprise me, because I mean, do you know the collegiate logo for any of these universities around? Well, you might. I mean, especially if you're a grad, if you're an alum from Notre Dame or whatever, yeah, okay, fine. But let's face it, you know, when it comes to collegiate sports, especially football, basketball, baseball, of course, in there as well, there's a kind of celebrity status that goes along with. I mean, come on, it's college football, and the kind of investment that universities make in those programs and the kind of investments that broadcasters make in carrying all of that. Yeah, I mean, it's all about the money, and in that respect, it's big business. And of course, lately there's been even more efforts made to free up in Florida collegiate athletes who want to be compensated for the use of their image or their name in regard to any kind of sports-related commerce. And that is the state of the art. Well, for us in Tallahassee, it's a little bit closer to home, isn't it? And there's a kind of fondness, I think, related to Florida State football in the manner of coaching that came by way of Coach Bobby Bowden. I mean, there's so much that's been written and said about his career, about the man, that it starts to blur after a while, because, you know, the term legendary has been used ad infinitum. I mean, we're at the point now where, in hearing of his current health status and this impending terminal illness, as it was described in the news release, I mean, you know, that's not something we want to think about or talk about, of course. And the family has asked for that sort of respect, you know. Yes, let's do that. By the way, folks, let's not use this as another marketing opportunity, and that's already started. I mean, you can't imagine that not happening, I suppose, but, you know, people lining up on Facebook to, you know, sell their next widget or thing, you know, courtesy of Bobby Bowden's generous sharing of his self. And I have a story there for you as well. I can tell you that back in the day, when I was getting started in Tallahassee in radio, working for a local radio station, and at that point I was the director of operations, and happened to be at a gathering, sports related. It was the FCA prayer breakfast, if I'm not mistaken. And without question, Coach Bowden was going to be there, and there he was at that head table. As it turned out, I happened to be sitting at a table not more than probably, I don't know, 10 feet from that head table. And he and I were pretty much face to face, if you want to say it that way. Certainly within earshot. And prior to the beginning of the event, everybody was just sort of milling around like we all do. And I walked up to that head table, and here he is sitting there just kind of taking it all in. And I introduced myself to him. And being the young, enterprising director of operations for a local radio station, yes, I had my little tape recorder with me. Yep. And we were still using cassette tape in those days, for sure. I said, "Coach, would you mind doing something for me? I'd really appreciate it if you would record a little mention of our station as a message to our listeners." Well, I mean, that was bold enough to do that, but, you know, that's kind of how it goes in that business anyway, and it didn't faze him one bit. He was like, "Ah, sure, no problem." And I had scratched out a little script there for him. Generous in his willingness to do it for me. And I can tell you that we played that particular message for the next, probably the next 2 years, while his accomplishments continued to accumulate and his winning record continued to grow. Now, can you imagine in today's environment me doing something like that? And there would be, within a nanosecond, there would be a cease and desist because of the fact that, referencing my earlier comment, collegiate sports isn't that anymore. It isn't, you know, your friendly, charming coach helping you out. No, it's all business. And in fact, I've had coaches, you know, tell me, "I'd love to be on your show, but man, I can't. I'm under contract, and if I do that, yeah, it gets ugly. We've done that with various cross promotions that we've done with our show and others. Yep. Sports marketing, as it is referred to, has really taken hold and taken over the whole business. So be that as it may, I think you're going to find in this conversation we had with Coach Bowden now just a couple of years back, a wonderful retelling of some of those experiences in his career and a great testimony as to the character of this man and why he cared so much about his players. You stay with me. We've got more right after this.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this
Witten
critical
Glass
time of year.
Taking care of
and the businesses
since
sponsoring the Tallahassee Food
when
Challenge
you call Witten
want to
Glass,
remind each of us to take the challenge
reliable
by making an additional contribution
only
and donating
best.
Food.
Like
as
Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide
no
style and luxury at an affordable price.
As a result,
eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you
higher.
Design it and install
join
it.
Join us in giving generously
Glass,
during this
the
critical
first name
time
in glass replacement.
You'll
call
be helping
222
feed hungry
5781.
Children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
What a great opportunity to talk with a man who arguably for his entire life has devoted his talents and his faith and his direction for young men around the country and around the world who have gone on in various ways, some in professional athletics, in football, some in business. But in any case, when you talk with those who had the opportunity to play under Coach Bobby Bowden, you find out very quickly one thing in common, that for them, Coach was a guy who looked out for them as a person. And their abilities as a football player were right there, and his job was to coach them in the direction that would bring out their very best. But it's my pleasure to be able to say we have with us Coach Bobby Bowden, and thank you for joining us, Coach.
It's good to be here. I'm looking forward to answering your questions.
The reality is, and I don't exaggerate, I can name a number of men that I've talked to, the coaches and players, and the thing that they appreciated about your approach was that first they were a person. Somebody that you wanted to invest in, and you looked for a way that you could best help them. That seems to me to characterize for you how you've approached life. I remember years ago you compared football to the game of life, and I wondered if you would comment on that, how the game of life plays out in many respects, the way football does.
Well, the game of life, like football and like a lot of other things, they have rules and regulations that you have to follow. You have some people that break those rules. You have most of the people who do not break them, you know. And in life, you get knocked down and you got to get up. Well, in football, you get knocked down too and you got to get up. And then of course you're in the limelight. People are watching you all the time. People are judging you all the time. And you have being the head football coach at Florida State, you have a responsibility to the people of Tallahassee mm-hmm. and to the people of Florida State and to the alumni of Florida State to try to set the example for them.
Indeed, and that example has always included your professionalism and your personal faith.
Yeah.
You've never tried to apologize for that. You've
No.
never tried to wean that out.
No.
When you talk with a player or a coach, you bring
your faith in God to that conversation?
I tell you what, when I started, I coached 57 years in college. I coached 34 years at Florida State University. Now, I know it's because of the way I was raised. I had a good mama and a good daddy, you know, and a good family who tried to, they taught me the right things. Now, I didn't always do them, but I tried, you know. And so when I started coaching, I felt like when I coached a young man, I wanted him to be the best athlete he could be. I wanted to make him the best athlete we could. I wanted him to get an education, you know.
Yeah.
But I also wanted him to be aware of our faith, whatever his is.
Yeah.
And I would tell him mine. I said, look, y'all don't have to believe like I'm telling you. But I've got a right to teach you if I want to,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I had that responsibility to every man I coached, you know.
Yeah.
Let me put it plainly. I did not want a boy to go through my program and come out not knowing about God.
And so many of them have come back to you or have stayed close to you as friends and colleagues in all of those 50-plus years.
Can't tell you how many. I can't tell you how many. It's funny. I get letters from boys I coached 50 years ago, boys I coached 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And you know what? None of them mention football. None of them mention football. They say, Coach, thank you for what you told us about this. Thank you for making us go to church. I'm now married, and I've got two grown children in college, and they're doing well, and they're behaving themselves and everything, and they can't say thank you enough.
Wow. Speaking of football and that approach in working with people, right, it's my observation that, of course, across college football today, there is a pretty wide variety, we might say, of coaching styles.
There are
many coaches that follow your lead, and I get the impression that Willie Taggart is one of those kind of coaches, because I've heard him talk about bringing this team together and showing love to one another. You know, and one of his assistant coaches saying, hey, we don't like a lot of profanity there on the sidelines. We don't go there.
Amen.
You know, and so already there's that sort of experience happening for those young men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, football has changed so much in the 57 years that I coached. When I first started coaching football, it was all physical.
Yeah.
And you would talk to your boys about hating the opponent.
Huh.
Yeah. I can remember one game out here at Florida State. It's been 25, 30 years ago, we were warming up against this team. I won't call their name. We were warming up against this team before the ball game.
Yep.
And I was carrying on a conversation of one of their players who I had tried to recruit. Kind of like, well, how you doing? I hadn't seen you in a while, so forth. And his coach came up and said, quit talking to him. Quit talking to him. You know, it made us break up the conversation. You know, but you know, it's changed a lot since then.
Yeah.
Just like you're talking about Willie Taggart talking about love.
Yeah.
We found out it's not hate.
No.
It's love. If you want good teamwork and you want to help your buddy all you can, it gets down to how much you love him.
It's remarkable how many athletes will say at the end of the game, well, we just love each other. I mean, and that goes across basketball, baseball, football. They all talk, man, we are a team. We love each other. We've got each other's back.
And you know, they say the same thing's true in the military. And I can see this.
Yeah.
A guy goes into war. And he knows he might get killed because a battle is fixing to occur. There's an enemy out there about 50 yards away, and he knows he can get killed. That his bravery comes from not wanting to let his buddy down. More than anything, they don't think about the stars and stripes. They don't think about mom and daddy back home. They think about their buddy right there.
Bottom,
you know?
Yep.
That's love, and that's teamwork, and that's what it takes to succeed.
Trusting.
And a football team has to take that same attitude. You know what?
Huh.
I'm going to block my man because I don't want them to hit my running back there, you know?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to block my man because I know he's going to get his, and we're going to succeed. And so, we do it for our buddy.
You talked about the things that you learned from your parents.
Yeah.
You've, no doubt, you and Ann have worked hard to try to instill that in your own family.
Mm-hmm.
from your standpoint, what were the things that you tried to teach your kids most of all?
Well, my mother and daddy started off with the church. They started off with the church. Now, I don't remember the first day I went to church, but my mama told me that she carried me to church in a basket when I was born. I can imagine her doing that too, you know. But then I grew up 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age, and always they mother made us and daddy made us go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever they opened the doors, you know. And of course, being a kid, I didn't want to. I wanted to do something else, you know. But anyway, that they gave me the foundation that I've tried to carry with my family. We went to church too, you know, and especially when they were all young. Now they all married and got their own family. But we tried to. Here's something that, you know, I used to get letters when I was head coach.
Right.
I'd get letters from mothers all over the country, really, because they knew what I was trying to teach. And it'd be a letter like this: "Dear coach, I'm raising a 15-year-old son. He's playing football at the high school. He doesn't have a father. I'm raising him by myself. What can I tell him to make him successful?" I got that letter a lot. I got that phone call a lot. I'd tell them the same thing, just like I was taught. I'd say, "You tell your son to get his priorities in order." "What do you mean?" "Well, you tell him to put God first in his life. Put his family second. Not football third, education." And then other people. Put them ahead of yourself, you know. And then then comes football and music and baseball and other things you want to do in life, you know what? But be sure to put God first. I'd say, "Now, what I mean by that, son, when you start to go somewhere with your buddies, ask God, is this okay? If the answer is no, don't go. Now, if the answer is yes, go and have a good time."
Yeah.
Do your parents mind you going? "No, they don't mind." "Well, go." "Your parents don't think you should go." "Well, don't go, you know." So I tried to get that point across.
Yep.
And I really feel like if a boy does put his priorities in order, that God's not going to let him fail.
Simple wisdom. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with the legendary Coach Bobby Bowden. You stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
We're talking with Coach Bobby Bowden, talking about instilling some simple wisdom, getting your priorities straight. A number of those folks, part of your staff, and we had the opportunity to talk with Coach Mickey Andrews, and he told this story about how you first met him. And Coach Andrews and I are talking. He said, "You know where we met?" I said, "No." He said, "At a McDonald's." He said, "That tells you a lot about Bobby Bowden. It ain't about the big show. It's about the content of the conversation. It's about connecting with the person." And you and Mickey just hit it off.
We sure did. He coached 26 or 27 years with me. And Billy Sexton coached 25 more years. Jim Gladden coached the whole time I was here, 34 years, you know. And we were very fortunate.
Yeah.
When I gave a coach a job, I never tried to tell him how to do his job. I would tell him what I want. This is what I want done. You know it? Now you do it. You get it done. I'll let you do it, you know. And then if I went on the field when I was out there with them, I never corrected one in front of the players.
Right.
I mean, that wouldn't. Now some coaches are bad about that. I know, you know, but I would never correct the coach in front of the boys. I'd write a note down, and then we had our staff meeting the next morning. I'd go over that with him. You know what? But I always gave my coaches the responsibility. You know, "Men, this is the job to do. I'm going to let you do it. Now, you better get it done. I'm going to have to give me somebody else." You know what?
Yeah.
I also told them this. We all must get along together. Mm. I cannot allow two of you to be fighting and arguing against each other. Mm. If that happens, one of you is going to have to go, you know. And so we had that understanding to begin with. And then you try to hire good coaches, you know.
Yeah.
You try to hire men with character, men with families, men with values. And that's what I had, you know. So if you do that, it takes care of itself.
It's interesting to me. It's not about X's and O's.
No.
It's really about the people you're connected to and this shared goal that you're working toward.
Yeah.
And how you do that, how you play that game.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot more than X's and O's, man. You know what?
Yeah.
It's joining everybody together, having a common bond. You know, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes was a program that is always in the front of our program, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to get guys loving each other, and working with each other.
Yeah, and that has to show up on the field and off the field.
And it shows off on the field and off the field.
Yeah. The coach has two games out, and they're already wanting him to take a hike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, I remember when Coach Bowden first started here all those years ago. I mean, they gave him some time to build a program.
Because it takes time.
It takes time.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting to me, because if we translate that approach into some of these larger discussions about family, right? And we talked earlier about, hey, what did you do for your kids? How did you teach them?
Yeah. To me, the whole key is raising them correctly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you tell you, there were so many players at Florida State, and it's our culture today.
Yeah.
I mean, my last 10 years, I'd say, coaching at Florida State, I probably had 60 to 70% of my boys who did not have a daddy in the home. Now, a boy needs a daddy. A boy needs a male figure in the home. But no, they're raised by mamas.
Yeah.
They're raised by grandmamas. Mm. They're raised by big sisters. And thank God for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
But he needs a male figure discipline him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have him. Then they get up 18 years of age, and they hadn't had that foundation, man.
It's
you
tough.
Know, I mean, that's why I guarantee you, in football, if we could keep them for 4 years, we could get them headed in the right direction.
Interesting.
Because I was going to introduce them to some people won't like this, but I was going to introduce them to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to introduce them to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I took them to church.
Mm-hmm.
When my team came in every year, I took them to two churches. I went to a white church.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got to go. This is just like a meeting. You got to be there. Next Sunday, we went to a black church.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I wanted them to see that no matter what their race is, they're welcomed here in Florida State.
Yeah.
There's a place for you. You know it?
Yep.
And I didn't do it every week. Now, I just did it when we first came in.
Yeah.
And so that they knew that they had a church to go to if they wanted to. I wanted them to have what their mom and their daddy had given them when they came here.
Interesting.
And I told their parents, somebody said, well, how do you get along? How'd you get by with that? Well, when I recruited them, I told their parents I was going to do that. Parents loved it. A lot of them probably came because of that.
Speaking of love, how much you have loved this town.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You and Ann have made this your home years.
When we retired, we were going to leave and go to Panama City. We have a house over in Panama City. We have several condos over here. We're going to leave and go over there, see?
Hang out on the beach.
And you know what? We can't leave. We can't leave. And we've been in this house 42 years, and we determined we're going to stay here till the good Lord takes us home.
Yeah,
and we love we think Tallahassee. You know, both of us, I was raised in Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
She was raised in Gadsden, Alabama, and she moved to Birmingham. That's where I met her.
Right.
And we love Birmingham. We love that. That's our old home, you know.
Sure, sure.
And we love Panama City because we got two children living over right now. But Tallahassee, we've been here longer than any. I don't think I ever had a job over 10 years. I coached West Virginia 10 years.
Yep.
I coached at Samford 4 years. I coached South Georgia 4 years. I was assistant here 3 years. You know, but I coached here for 34 years. And so this is where we have spent most of our life.
Yep.
And this is where we call home. And Ann and I love Tallahassee.
I think Tallahassee loves you back.
Well, I appreciate that,
you know,
too.
And I think what has happened, too, with our town is a kind of growth that is both population and understanding.
Yeah,
I really do. You talk about crossing barriers, black and white.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're growing in a way that is bringing us in touch with parts of our community that we just haven't acknowledged.
Yeah. We've got Florida A&M University, who I pull for every week.
Yeah.
I pull for them just like I do Florida State. I'm proud of people in Tallahassee.
When I think of your love of people and your family and God and football and Tallahassee, there's a lot of loves in your life.
Yeah.
Coaching.
Yeah.
Coaching isn't always a happy day.
No.
And any more than being, I suppose, a parent or a business owner or a politician. There were those times in your coaching career, whether it was just a terrible loss, a frustrating loss.
You
had to walk through that.
Yeah.
That was you getting kicked to the turf, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you had to decide to get back up. I get that.
You'll get your if you're a coach, you're going to be humiliated at times, you know it?
Yeah.
And you have to just live through it. But that's life.
It's a tough question for you. What did you love the most about coaching football?
I think it was probably working with the boys, watching them develop, watching them being the best they could be, and then having the success of building a team. You know, I used to tell my players this. Let's say we were going to play somebody that had better material than us.
Mm.
Now, I've always felt whoever has the best players is going to win. That's where I've always felt. You know?
Right.
So let's say we're going to play somebody that's favored over us. And I always tell my players, man, it's not who has the best players. It's who has the best team. We've got to be a team. And if we're a team, we can whip anybody. You know what? And so you're trying to build that team atmosphere, and that's joined together by love, love of each other.
What did you not like most about coaching?
Losing. No, you know,
a
lot of people ask me, how do you like coaching? So here. Well, if I win, I love it.
Yeah.
If you lose, baby, it ain't no fun. You can be in Hawaii, and it ain't no fun if you're losing.
Winning coaches usually will say that they hate losing more than they love winning.
Ann and I have talked about that. That is true in my part.
Yeah.
I mean, I hated losing more than winning felt good.
Right.
You know what? Because, boy, those losses do hurt.
Right. Well, Coach, you have given us a good deal of your time today, and I don't want to hold you up any further. Thank you for making our show even more special and for all the wisdom and the love that you've been willing to share today with us.
Well, I know I'm talking to some great people out there, and I appreciate what you're doing in spreading it. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Folks, there we have a tribute to this wonderful coach, Bobby Bowden. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's Radio to the World. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.